Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Tzadi Dalet. We're learning today Lilui Nishmas, my wonderful mother-in-law, Ethel Korn Aleha Shalom, Esther Etel, Bazalman Yosef. Today is her 11th yahrzeit. My wife and I miss her very much, as does the entire family, and all the learning and all of the mitzvos and zechuyos should give an aliyah to her holy neshama. Okay, we'll also continue to learn for the safety and the success of the chayalim. They should be without any injuries. They should, those that need a refuah shleima should have one. They should bring back the chatufim, and they should be shalom al yisrael. Okay, we pick up on the bottom with Tzadi Gimel Omud Beis, about 7 lines from the bottom, with a statement from Abayi. And Abayi is going to remind us what we learned in yesterday's shir. Omar Abayi, Abayi tells us, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, who had said in yesterday's shir, that a shinui doesn't always make an acquisition for the Ghana. For example, we had brought down that if you had dyed something, so then that doesn't consider it to be a shinui. So in the Mishnah that we had from Chulin, where a person did Reishis Ages, he sheared his sheep, and the first sheep he then dyed the wool, then the second sheep he dyed the wool, you could be mitzar then, that wasn't considered a shinui. So that statement that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda had made in yesterday's shear, that even a shinui such as dyeing it, doing tzvo, doesn't make it an acquisition, so there are other tanoim that hold the same way. Not exactly the same way, Tosos brings down, in the bottom Tosos, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, who had the Amoran, he says, Tema, ha, bitvo, the argo, in the case that we brought down where he did Reishis Ages and he was shearing his sheep, and if he had in fact spun it and woven it, so then it would be not mitzarev to the second sheep, to the third sheep, to have the shear for Reishis Ages. So Moda, in that situation, v'lo polig, he only argued in the case of bitzvo, mishum delo choshev leishinu, l'fishelo nishtane, gufatzemer. He said, when you dye it, it doesn't really change the wool itself, and that's why he didn't consider the shinui. So all of these other tanoim, do they agree with that? Do they say that there is a shinui capable of doing it, and only a certain type of shinui is not? So that doesn't seem to be the case. So Tosfos answers, Yesh l'man, d'lav dafka amru davar echad. Not that all of these tanoim that we're going to list say the exact same thing. Ela klomar, b'shita achas, saying that there is a underlying similarity between the shitas. However, there are differences between them. In any event, now let's see. Inside again, Amar Abaye, that which we said, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, as well as, which we'll learn today, Ubei Shammai, and the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, Kulu Sviruluhu Shinui Bimkomo Ome. They all hold that even though there is a change in the article, so then the Ghana doesn't acquire it. It still remains in the original Marakama, in the original owner's possession, even though there was a Shinui. Now, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Hodamar, that's what was just brought down, that he held that if you colored it, if you dyed the wool, that didn't constitute a Shinui. Now, what are all the other Tanoim that their opinion is like that? So, Beishamai, Maihi, what is the opinion of Beishamai that is like this opinion of Rabbi Shimon Yehuda? The Tanya, we have the following Braisa. Noasan lo chitin biesnana, Rahman Luslan, if somebody committed znus with a zona, and to pay her for her services, he gives her wheat. That is the esnan zona. And then she turns it into flour, vason solus. She makes it into flour. Or alternatively, he gives her zeisin, he gives her olives, and she turns it into shemen, vason shemen. Or alternatively, he gives her grapes as the esnan zona, anovim, and vason yain, and she turned it into wine. So we have two different brises giving us the psak halach here. Tanicha, the one brise says it would be also to bring the solus, or the oil, or the wine that she had made as a carbon, because that's still called esnan zona, even though there was a shinui. However, the other braisa says, no, that's called a shinui, it is no longer esnan zona, and therefore, technically, this soles, or the oil, or the wine, could be brought as a carbon, it would be mutter. Now, how do you reconcile the two braises? Well, Rav Yosef, the two different opinions. Rav Yosef says, Tony Gurion, and we turn to Tzadi Dalet Omen Aleph, Gurion, who comes to me, Aspork, Rashi says that's the name of a place. So this Gurion, who came from Aspork, said that Beishamai is the Brisa that says Osrin, and Beis Hillel is the Brisa that says Matir. In other words, Beishamai says that even though there was a change, you went from making it from grain into flour, from olives into oil, from grapes into wine. So there was a real shinoi, but that's still considered like it's Esnan Zona. In other words, here you see that Beishamai holds that even though there's a shinoi, it still has its original status. Now, why? My time with Beishamai. How come they don't hold that a shinui makes it no longer something that should be considered the esnan zona? It has been changed from the wheat or the olives or the grapes that was given. So Beishami says the darsh in the pasuk. It says Omar Kro Gam Shnehem. It says Lo Savi Esnan Zona Mechir Kela Beis Hashem Lo Kachi. Now they bring the Esnan Zona for a carbon lechol neder, for any fulfillment of a vow that you had pledged. Kisovas Hashem Lokecha Gam Shnehem. From the lashon of Gam Shnehem, that implies Lirabos Shinuyehem. The extra wordage over here comes to include not only the original item itself, that was the Esnan Zona or the Mechir Kelev, but something that then was coming from them, such as the wheat that was turned into flour, the olives that were turned into oil, the grapes that were turned into wine, are included according to Beis Shammai. Now, what does Beis Hillel do with this pasuk? Beis Hillel, on Makra Haim, this pasuk tells us that Lagam Shnehem, the Haim Shnehem, that is Lirabos only those items themselves. Haim, the lo shinuyim, and not to be marred by anything else. It means only the Esnan Zona, only the actual payment, only the grain, only the olive, only the grape itself is usser, but not the byproduct, the changes that come from them. Nu Beis Shammai Hoksiv Haim. So Beis Shammai also, it says the word hem in Shnehem. So what does Beis Shammai do with that drasha? So Beis Shammai would answer the word hem in Shnehem. How mi boyele hem velo vladoseim. That comes to exclude their progeny. So when it tells us these items over here, it includes their shinuyehem, but it excludes their progeny. So if the woman got a sheep as her Esnan Zona, and then she then gave birth to another sheep, so the second sheep, the baby sheep, would be technically able to be brought as a carbon. So the hem, in the word shnehem, the lov lodosam, that's what Beis Shammai learns out. Now, Beis Hillel learned that then from Beis Hillel. They say you can learn both from them. Tarti shamas mine heim velo shinuyehem. The word hem from shnehem means velo shinuyehem, and hem velo vladosehem. Beis Shammai doesn't agree with that drasha. Beis Hillel says you can learn both. Beis Shammai says you can only learn one. Nu, Beis Halei nami yoksiv gam. What about the word gam also? With Beis Shammai, that's how you knew lirabos shinuyehem. But what does Beis Hillel do with the word gam? Beis Hillel nami hoksiv gam. So Gemara says, you're right, taka, that's a kasha. Gam le Beis Hillel kasha. Why did it have to say gam shnehem? That's taka kasha, according to Beis Hillel's opinion. Then we said that in addition, there was the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He also held that a shinuy doesn't become the possession of the ganav, let's say. There's a no change in the ownership by based upon a shinoi. Nu, what was that? Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Mahi. So this is taught to us in the following brayse of the Tanya. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Harei shegazal saw shochitin. If a ganav never stole a saw's worth of chitin, and what did he do with it? He ground it up to chana, losha, he then kneaded it, yafor, then he baked it, and then the hifrish menu chala. Then he goes in chala, one of the matnas kahuna, to the kohen. And then he wants to make a bracha on the chala. How could he dare make a bracha on the challah? This person shouldn't be blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu for doing this, but by doing what he did, which is stealing, he's essentially going and being minoit. He's going against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, we have the pasuk, if somebody goes and makes a bracha on doing this terrible thing, so he's essentially going against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's blaspheming against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, you see that even though it was changed, it's still considered a geneva, an item that still isn't his, and therefore, he shouldn't be going to be mafresh chal on it and making a brach on it. Ah, so here you see, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov also says that the shinoi doesn't really make a change. Okay, the next opinion was Rabbi Shimon Elazar. What is that? My he? So the Tanya, we learned in the following brisa. Klal ze omar Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Rabbi Shimon Elazar tells us the following rule. Kol shevach shehishbiach gazlon. If a gana of a gazlon went and improved an item, so yoda al hayona, he has the upper hand in the sense that if he wishes to, Ratza no tel shivcho, he can keep the stolen item and not have to return it with the improvement in it and just give the original value of the item to the more common person that he stole it from. Or alternatively, Ratza, if he wishes to, let's say it went down in value, omelo harashul cholofanecha, he said, yeah, here's your animal. You can go take it back. It's the same animal that I stole from you. And he can do this, for example, even if he didn't feed the animal, even if he didn't take good care of it, so now the animal's worth a lot less. And as we'll see later on, there's a discussion over here whether this is a type of a change, is a permanent change, or it's a type of change that can be reversed. So, for example, if you didn't feed the animal well, so that could easily be reversed by feeding the animal well. We'll see more about this a few lines in the Gemara. In any event, the Gemara now asks, my comer, what is Rav Shimon Elazar telling us? So Rav Sheshes explains, I'm Rav Sheshes, this is what Rav Shimon Elazar is telling us. Hishbicha no tel shivcho. If the item improved, the Ganav of Goslin has the right to keep the item and just give back the value that he stole to the original owner. Kochash, however, it went down in its value. Like I said, let's say, for example, he didn't feed it. So, Omelo, Haresh Chol Fenecha, here's your cow. No, it was worth $100 when I stole it. Now it's worth $50. Well, here, I'm giving it back to you. The Shinoi Bimkomo Omer, because the Shinoi didn't cause a change in ownership, and therefore he can just give the item back. Heshiv Sagzelo, Asher Gozal applies in this situation as well. So here we see, Rosh Shimon Loza says the same thing. Moore says, wait a second. So if you're telling me that the change doesn't effectuate a change in rishus, so then afilu hishbiach nami. So then, how come it went up in value? He's allowed to say, "Well, I don't want to give you back the item because that's worth more now. I'll just give you the value of what was originally. So now it's worth 150. Originally, it was worth 100. I'll just give you $100, and I'll keep the 150 of the value of the animal right now. How come he's allowed to do that? If you're telling me the Rosh Shimon Loza says that he didn't really make a change in the rishus of the animal to come into his possession." Shmuel says, no, this is the Takonis Rabbanon that we've mentioned many times already. Amre Mipnei Takonis Hashavim. This is the Takonis Morish that we've talked about. This is the Takonis to facilitate people from doing tshuva. So if you build the bottom brick into the Empire State Building, so then if you have to return that brick, you have to knock down the entire billions of dollars of worth of the Empire State Building. You're not going to do it. No. So therefore, just give the $5 of the value of that brick. And therefore, the rabbi said, you'll satisfy the Heshev Esag Zela Asher Gozal, even though it's still extant and you'd have to return it. But the rabbi said, in order to facilitate the takana sashava, to facilitate people to do tshuva, so you don't have to go and do that. You can just give the monetary value. That's why in Mishpiach, we want this guy, this ganav, to go and return what he stole. Well, it's worth 150 right now. He's not going to be so quick to return it when it was only worth 100 when he stole it. So therefore, we'll say, just give the $100 and we'll be happy. Then the last tanoic statement was Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel Mahi, what does Rabbi Shmuel say similarly that the Shina doesn't really affect the change in the Rishus? So the Tanya, that's the following Brisa. Mitzvahs peyo lafrish min akoma. Ideally, the peyo should be left from standing grain. In other words, when your field is not yet harvested, that's when you leave this corner of the field. The rabbi set up, there would be 1/60th of the field. You leave that for peyo, which is one of the matnos aniyim, one of the gifts that we give to the poor people. No, if the guy didn't do that, lo hifrish min akoma, if he didn't leave a corner of the field for the aniyim, but he had harvested it all, so then mafrish min omrim. So now he goes and takes all the piles of grain and leaves 1/60th of them for the aniyim. No, he didn't do that either. Lo hifrish min omrim. He didn't go and leave 1/60th of the harvested grain for the aniyim, but he brought it into his warehouses and he started going and piling it up there. So mafrish min akri. So then he should go and be mafresh it from the pile that he has in his silos until he goes and smooths it out, until he goes and winnows it. No, once he's mericho, once he winnowed it, so then he already is obligated now in giving meiser on the produce. So he has to first give meiser, v'nosilo. And then he has to give the peyah after he took off the meiser, he then gives the peyah to the poor person. So take 1/60th and give it to the poor person. However, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru, Rabbi Shmuel says that even if he then took the grain and fashioned it into a dough, he ground it up, he put in water, he kneaded it, and he made it into a dough, even in that situation, he still has to get payah. Oh, you see that even though he made it into a dough, that doesn't make it into his own, that it no longer has a chiyuv of payah on it. So all of these tanaim that we just brought down, the simple understanding is that they all say somewhat in the same way that we had brought down originally from the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda that the tzvaim, dyeing of the wool, didn't go and effectuate a change, that the guy still would be chayv in Reishis Hagez, with you could combine the first, the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth sheep together to make the shear for Reishis Hagez. Gemara now questions this. It says, Omali Rapapli Abayi, the way we've just learned it, Ich pal kol hanei tanoi, all these tanoi that we just put together, they're all saying, Lashminon ke Beis Shammai, they're all holy like Beis Shammai. So that's not normally the way that we paskin. So all of these Tanaim really got together and said the same sheet as Beis Shammai? So Abaye answers back and he says, no, Hochi Kamri, this is what we're really saying over here. Lo nechluku Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel b'davar hazeh, all of these Tanaim, and in fact Abaye says that that's not a machlokas. That machlokas that we brought down, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, is not a machlokas. Beis Hillel is also molded to Beis Shammai, that the Esnan Zona in that situation, the change of the wheat into flour, the grapes into wine, the olives into oil, even Beis Hillel would say those changed items, the flour, the oil, or the wine, still can't be brought on the Mizbeach. So that's not a machlokes. Not everybody's holding here like Beis Shammai. This is also the opinion of Beis Hillel. Now, that's a biased Teret, so to say. Omar Rava. Rava says, who says that all of these Tanoic opinions are really the same? Mimai, I don't think so. Maybe, in fact, they all hold that a Shinoi does make a change in the ownership. But each of them had something specific about their case that didn't make that specifically make it a change of ownership. For example, Dilma Adkan lo ka'amar Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, his case of the dyeing of the wool, that didn't effectuate a change, and you would meet starif, all the different sheep together to make the shiv reish zagez. The only reason why he said that was hasam elabit seva, that was only for the dyeing. As we pointed out, Tosfos already said this in the beginning of the shiur today, I pointed this out at the beginning of the shiur and in yesterday's shiur, that it was only for the dyeing that he says that you mitzarif all the sheep together. But if you wove them together, the wool, or if you twisted it, if you did other things to it that were a change, so then you didn't combine sheep number one with sheep number two, sheep number three. It was only with the dyeing that you do that. So why with the dyeing? So Rabbi Shimon Yehuda said only with the dyeing because ho v'yochol lahaviro ayidei tzfon. Because you could go take this detergent, the tzfon we said yesterday was a certain type of boris, a certain type of detergent that would go and remove the dye. So therefore it is something that could be changed back to the way that it was. And that's why it's not considered a shinoi. Similarly, Ad kan lo karmi Beis Shammai hasam el legavoa. The only reason that, according to this, there was a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the only reason Beis Shammai said that we don't allow you to bring even the item that was made from the Esdan Zonah, so the grain, we don't let you bring even the flour, we don't let you bring the olive oil, even though the olives were the Esdan Zonah, we don't let you bring the wine, even though the grapes were the Esdan Zonah, is because you're bringing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, are you going to bring such a thing on the Mizbeach? That's why Beis Shammai said it's no good. But in general, they would say that such a thing would make a change. It would be a change in Rishus. So El is only because Ligavoa. Mishum de Imis. It's disgusting to bring this flour or this oil or this wine that came from an Esdan Zona, but not because technically it didn't belong to you. And likewise, that which we said, Ratkan lo kamar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Hasam Elinyan Barucha, that which we said, Botzea Berech Nietz Hashem, that's because you're making a bracha on something that you stole. Mishum dehadli mitzvah ba'avera. You're doing this mitzvah of making the bracha on being mafrish challah. But it came about through an avera. And therefore, that's why it was pasnish. But not because it didn't make a shinoi. And likewise, yakan lokom Rishim ben Lazar hasam. That which we said, that Rishim ben Lazar said that it's not considered a significant change, was only in the case where the Ghana didn't have to go and return the animal that was worth more, but did have to return the animal that was worth less, or could return the animal that was worth less, and be Yotze that way, was only because Ela Bahachosh the Hodar. It's not because it wasn't a shinoi, it was a type of a shinoi that could be counteracted. So he didn't feed the animal, so therefore it went down in price. But the simple solution to that change is to go feed the animal. As Rashi says, Mufatma, go and fatten it up, and therefore it will now get back to its original condition. So it's not an irreversible change, it's a reversible change by Choshe Dehadar. And therefore only in that situation the Yehold is not considered significant Shina. But if it was a HaChosha, the Lo Hadar, if it was something that could not be reversed, so then he would in fact say that's a good change. And you can't just go and give back the changed item that is worth so much less. And finally, the last opinion, Yad Kan Lo Kom Rabbi Shmuel, the case of Rabbi Shmuel, where he said that you have to go and give payah even when it's in a dough format. So he only said that, Lo Kom Rabbi Shmuel, Hosam Elo Lein Payah. And why by payah specifically? Because it mentions twice in the pasuk that you have to take off payah. Mishum Dixiv Ta'azov Yisera. Rashi explains that it says it twice. In Parshas Kedoshim to you, it says, Lo Sechaleh Pa'asotcho Liktzor. And in Parshas Shoro Kesef, it says, Lo Sechaleh Pa'asotcho Bikutzrecha. So Rashi says, Trei Kroi Ta'azovoso. Twice it tells us that you have to go and take off the payah. Lomali, why twice? Shmamino lasu yeshinoi delokani hacha. That comes to conclude, even a shinoi that doesn't make the change, even though it normally does accomplish change in ownership, here the chiva peya is still there. So all of these cases, according to Rabba, aren't really examples of a shinoi not making a change. They were only specific situations where we didn't allow the normal din, that a shinoi actually makes a change in ownership, to impact the din. Now, You're going to tell me the chitemo leave more mine. So now let's learn out from peya the abinyan av, and we should learn out in every single case that any type of ashino shouldn't make any difference. So when it says no matnos anim shiny, the present of peya a matnos anim is different, and therefore you can't learn it out as a binyan av. Now the Rashba doesn't like this. He says why not? So he disagrees, and the Rashba is not goris the words over the chitemo ligmor minei matnos anim shiny, and he just keeps on reading the Gemara and tells us that the double lashon of tazo by peya is kidabai Rav Yonason, fits in well with the question that Rav Yonason asked. What did Rav Yonason ask? The boy Rav Yonason, Rav Yonason asked, my time with Rabbi Shmuel. What did Rabbi Shmuel say in regards to peya that you still have to go and give peya even when you made it into a dough? There's two possibilities. Do we say Mishum de Kesavar Shinoi Eino Kone? Does he hold that in fact a Shinoi, making it into a dough, doesn't acquire it for you? Or Odilma be Alma Kesavar Shinoi Kone? He in fact does hold that a Shinoi normally is Kone, but over here it isn't taking it away from the din of Peya because it says Tazov twice. V'hoch Mishum Dechsev Tazov Yisera. We say Tazov twice. And that's why, even though a Shinoi normally makes a change that would make the din not apply, but here, since it tells us tazov, so therefore it applies in the case even when you made it into a dough. And I'll show you that this is right, because in Tim Siloma, if you want to tell me time of the Rishmol Mishum Diksover Shinoi and a Kone, if you want to say it's like the first way we thought that it's because he holds that a Shinoi is not Kone, and that's why even though he made it into a dough, he has to still give Peya, that can't be. Then tazov Yisera, the cause of Rechon Lomeli, then why would you need to tell me tazov twice? And furthermore, so according to the Rabbanan who argued Rabbi Shmuel, and they say in the ratio of that brisa that you only take off peya until you did mercho, but if you went and made it into a dough, you don't have to take off peya. So then, tazov yisera, the cause of chuan alumni, then why would you need the extra tazov? Shmuel says, no. The chacham, the second question over here, that we can answer because you'd say you need it for the following brisa. The brisa tells us, a mafkir karmo. If a person says, my vineyard is no longer mine, I'm being mafkir it. And then what does he do? The hishkim laboki, he gets up early the next morning, uvitzaro, and he collects all the grapes from the vineyard. So he wants to say, I collected it from hefker. Nevertheless, even though he collected it from hefker, chayim beperet, the olos v'shichu peyer, he has to give all the matnos aniyim that you have to leave behind from a vineyard if you didn't go and pick some of them, if they were of a certain misshapen type of a form, if you forgot them, if you collected them, and peya. So all of these matnos aniyim you still have to give even though you're mafki the field. One exception would put them in a meiser. You don't have to give meiser. And the reasoning is because tazov applies to all of these matnos kahuna, the parent, the olos, the shich, and the peya. The extra saying of tazov applies to all of them. But by meiser, it doesn't say a second time that you have to take off the maestros, and therefore it doesn't apply to maestros. So maestro, if you were mafgrit, you technically no longer have to give. But all the other matnos and the parent, the ololos, the shikha and the peya, you would have to go and give. So that's why it says a second tazov according to the chachamim. How do we paskin? Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Elazar. We in fact paskin like this din of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Again, to remind ourselves, that was the case where the ganav stole an animal, and if it got better, we said because of the takanas hashavim, he didn't have to return the animal itself, but he could just go give the value of the animal as it was when he stole it. So let's say it was 100 bucks when he stole it, now it's worth 150. So in order to encourage him to do tshuva, if he has to give back the 150, he's not going to be so quick to do tshuva. So just making him back the 100 that he stole. And likewise, if the animal went down in value, because let's say he didn't feed it, so it was worth 100 when he stole it, now it's only worth 50, so he is allowed to go give back the animal and say, here, this is what I stole from you. It's worth less now. No, it's a type of a shinoi that could go and revert back. Go feed the animal, be mefatim it, and it'll be back worth to 100. So therefore, that's how Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel says, we paskin like this opinion of Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Where it says, wait a second, really? Umi Omar Shmuel Hachi, did Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, really say that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Elazar? We have a contradiction. Because Omar Shmuel also told us that ain shamin lo legana v'lo legazdan elu nizokin. We had this early in the Masechta. We said that Rechmano Lislan, let's say Ruvain's ox gored Shimon's ox and killed it. So he owes him $100. So in that situation, he can say, well, the carcass is worth 10%, let's say, of the value. So I only owe you 90% of the $100. So in that situation, he can give him the carcass, but we only allow that what we call shamim to evaluate the value of the carcass and say that's partial payment for your ox being gored. Well, I gored your ox, but you still have the carcass, so we'll deduct the value of the carcass from what I would have to pay you for the complete value of your ox, because you still get the carcass. So we only do that elul nizokin for damages, but we don't do that for a ganav or a gazlan. If they stole something, so we don't say, well, they want to return it, well, here's a dead animal, so go take your carcass back. No, you either give him back a live animal or you give him back money. You can't go give him the carcass. Ain't shaman lul ganav lul gazlan. We only are shaman. We only use this evaluation of how much the carcass is worth for nizokin. Now, the problem is, if Rav Yehuda Meshul says we pass it like Rav Shimon Elazar, and he also passes over here that we don't do the shaman for a ganav and a gazlam, it's a problem to Abaye. It's not a problem to that which we just said with Rava. So let's understand this. Let's see inside the Gemara. Bishlam al-Rava. Rava makes sense. You could hold both of these two statements of Shmuel, because the Amar, he holds Ki Kama Rav Shimon Elazar Hasam Bihach Chasha Dehadar. He was talking about a case, well, where did it go from $100 to worth only $50? Because he didn't feed it. Now, go feed it. It'll be worth $100 again. And that's not called the Shinoi. And therefore, Lo Kasha, it doesn't conflict with the statement that we said in the name of Shmuel that Ein Sham Lo Laganim Lo Lagazim Elul Nizakin. So, Ki Karma Aloch Rav Shimon Elazar, the Shinoi Mekom Omer. When Shmuel says that we pass it like this, Halacha of Rav Shimon Elazar, it's only talking about Behachosha Dehoder, with a type of Hachosha of the weakening. It went from $100 to $50 that is returnable. By feeding it, it will return to being worth $100. And only there did Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel pass it like Rav Shimon Elazar. The key card by Shmuel Hasan, and when Shmuel said as well, Ein Sham Lo Laganav Lo Lagazim Elul Nizakin, that was talking specifically about Baha Chasha De Lo Hadar, when it won't go back, such as the carcass. Elo, so therefore Shmuel has no problem, according to Rava. He can hold like both statements, because the two aren't contradictory to each other. But Elul Abaye, according to Abaye, who said, no, the Omar, Kik Omar, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, he's talking about under all circumstances that the robber is allowed to return the animal that's worth less, even B'Hachosha the Lohata Komar, even if it was not able to be restored to its original value. So it's not that it was not fed and that's worth $50. It now has some sort of a medical problem. It now has a broken leg that never is going to go and heal. It's never going to be able to be a plowing animal again. So it's only worth $50 being, let's say, a shechita animal. So therefore, this is said that Yehuda Amar Shmuel, possibly like Rav Shimon Elazar, even B'Hachosha Lohad Komar. So then, Michael and Amar, then that doesn't agree with the statement that we don't do shaman for anything other than Nizakin. So Gemara says, Abaye Masli Hachi. Abaye would have to learn Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel's statement in the following way. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, let me turn to Tzadi Dalit Amud Beis, that which Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said, Amru Halacha Rav Shimon Elazar. There were those, not me, there were those that say that Halacha Rav Shimon Elazar. However, V'lei Lo Sirulei, I do not hold like that, because he holds that we don't do the shamim for a gazlan or a ganav. We only do that for an izakin. And therefore, that's not compatible with the understanding that Abaye had of Rav Shimon Elazar, that under all circumstances, you can go give back the animal, even if it's a hachasha de lo chazar. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chiya Barabba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Chiya Barabba says the name of Yochanan, Devar Torah, according to the Halacha Midoraisa, Gizela Hanishtanis Choseris Be'enel. If you stole something, even though you made a shinui in it, but that item is still there, you must go give it back. Choseris Be'enel. If it's extant, you must go give it back, even though it underwent a physical change. Because the pasuk says, "Shenemar beheishiv esagzeilu asher gozal." You have to return the item that you stole. Now, the words that you stole are extra and unnecessary. Beheishiv esagzeilu. Of course, it's the one that you stole. So, why did it say asher gozal? That comes to teach us mikol makom. Even if it's been changed, you have to go and give it back, no matter what. Mikol makom. I vim tomar mishnah seinu. Mishnah we just learned yesterday. It says if you were gozel Eitzim, and you turned it into a kli, or if you stole wool and you turned it into a bag and into a garment, only in that situation do you pay bishas hagzela, because you made a shinui in it. So then, that was only said mishum takonas hashavim, in order to be consistent with this statement that on a deraisa level, veshivas hagzela shagaza, you have to return the item no matter what. So the only reason our Mishnah said this, that you don't have to return the item, but you just pay bishas hagzela, how much it was worth at the time of hagzela, is because we want to facilitate people from doing tshuva and at least returning the principal that they stole, the item's value at the time of the theft, rather than if it's gone up in value, they made it into a keli, they made it into a sweater, so they're not going to want to return it. So therefore, mishum takonas hashavim, the Mishnah said, they don't have to return the keli or the sweater, but they can just return the value at the time of the gzela. Now, that is what Rav Chiya bar Abba said in the name of Rav Yochanan. The Quran questions and says, well, mi amar Rav Yochanan hachi, did Rav Yochanan really say this? After all, we have a famous rule throughout Shas, Amar Rav Yochanan, halachik is Stam Mishnah. We always follow a Stam Mishnah, Utanan, and we learn the Stam Mishnah. This is the Mishnah we talked about from Chulin from yesterday's shir, and we mentioned it already in today's shir, where if the Reishis Hagez requires a certain shir, so you normally would combine the shearings of sheep 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, let's say. But if you did a shinoi after you sheared sheep 1, so then it doesn't combine with the shearings of sheep 2, doesn't combine with the shearings of sheep 3. And there it said, Utanan, lo hispik litno lo ad shitsuvo. And before he sheared the other animals, he dyed the wool of sheep number 1, popped it, then we don't combine it. So therefore, you see that if he made a sheet in it, he does acquire it, and we don't count it anymore towards Reishis Hagez. Now, you can't say over here that this is Mishum Takonas Hashavim, because there is no Takonas Hashavim over here. There is no din of, well, at least let him go and give the Kohen the value of the wool before it was dyed. No. So therefore, this is the Kasha. How could Rav Yochanan say that we paskin that gizela nishtanis choseres be'eneha, when clearly by the Stam Mishnah in Chulin, he doesn't hold like that? So the Gemara answers, Amalu, how me the Rabbanan, Rav Yaakov Shmei, one of the Rabbanan answered the question, who is this one of the Rabbanan? It was Rav Yaakov, and he said, L'didim efashli minei the Rav Yochanan. I myself heard the explanation of this from Rav Yochanan himself, and he said, Kegon shegazel eitzim mishupin, that our Mishnah was talking about where he stole eitzim that were mishupin, they were already smooth, they had already been sandpapered or planed or cut in a way that they were now already finished pieces of wood. And therefore, when you're dealing with eitzim mishupin and you made them into kalim, so guess what? That chair that you just put those finished legs into, well, undo them. And now you have the finished wood, albeit not the finished keli. And therefore, the Havali Shinui Hachoze Libriyoso, this is a type of Shinui which can be returned. And in that situation, we apply the Heshes Lekzeh Lashagozal on a Daraisa level. And therefore, it's only Midrabanan that we don't apply that Mishum Takonis Hashavim. And therefore, the case of the Reishis Hagez from Chulin is different than our Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanu in the following brayso, Hagazlonim umave beribis sheherziru ein mekabel mehen. If a gazlon or a person who lent money with interest and they want to do tshuva and they want to go and return the money that they stole or the money that they took in interest, you shouldn't take it from them. Ein mekabel mehen. You should say, thank you, I appreciate you giving it back, but I'm not accepting it from you. And in fact, v'amakabel mehen, and if you do take it back, if you take the item they stole from you back, if you take the ribis that you paid and you take it back, ein ruach chacham menochem menu. The rabbis aren't happy with such a person. Rashi goes even further, and Rashi says, ein ruach chochma the chasidus bekirbo. Such a person is not a nice person. He's not a chosid. He's not a good person. And the reasoning is because he's possibly, as we'll see in the Gemara, forestalling some people from doing tshuva, because they'll say, well, if I have to go give back everything that I stole or everything that I took interest on, I'm going to be broke, and maybe they won't do tshuva. But if you say you don't have to pay me back, so then they'll at least do tshuva, and in the overall scheme of things, that's much better. And in fact, Amar Rav Yochanan says, B'mei Rebbe, in the days of the great Yehuda Nasi, Nishnes Mishnazu, this was taught. This Mishnah that we just read, this Brisa that we just read, the Tanya was taught because it was a Maisa Shahoya. Maisa B'Odem Echo Shabikish Lasos Tshuva. There was a person that wanted to do tshuva. He had stolen a lot of things and now he wanted to do tshuva. Now, Omelo Ishto, his wife says to him, Reka, you fool, you empty head. If you do tshuva, you can get back every single thing you want. All you have in your possession is things that you stole or things that you got from interest. So, Imatoose Tshuva, even the belt on your pants isn't going to be yours. Now, the Shor Mitzvah about Halacha says it's interesting. He brings down that the Avnate from the Kohen Gadol was something that was mechaper for the Ganovim. So his wife was basically saying to him, hey, you don't have to do tshuva. You already have a kapara from the Avnate of the Kohen Gadol. Okay. very cute, very nice. The Barshah says that the Avnate over here is a reference to that you won't even have money to put into your money belt. And not only don't have money there, you'll have to give up all your money. They'll even take the belt. In other words, you're going to lose everything. You want to do tshuva, you're going to lose everything. And therefore, this guy listened to his wife, unfortunately, in this situation. Normally, you should listen to your wife, but here it was very bad. The nim nablo asa tshuva. And as a result, he did not do tshuva. So at that point in time, when this story came to pass, ba'osa shah amru, Rebbe's based in Paskin, ha'gazlonim, for people that are thieves, or mavi ribis, or that they lent money with interest, and they now want to give it back, they want to do tshuva, shev zero, emakavim, don't take from them, because if they know that maybe you won't take it from them, so maybe they'll do tshuva, but if they know that you're going to take everything from them, so then they're not going to be so quick to do tshuva. And therefore, v'abakavu b'hem, if somebody does take it from them, they're almost, to a certain extent, preventing them from doing tshuva. Therefore, the rabbi said, "Ein ruach chachamim no chaymen." The rabbis aren't happy about somebody like this. Now, the obvious question that's running through everybody's mind is, what? The guy's a ganav, and he lent money with interest. He did terrible things, so we should let him get away with it? Oh, I want to do tshuva. So we'll say, sure, we'll facilitate you doing tshuva. You don't have to give it back. So the ganav, the interest guy, he seems to gain on it. So in Tosos, Diba Masu, Bimei Rebbe, says the Rebbeinu Tam, or Rebbeinu Tam, the Lo Lufana Vol Yachrov. This was a one-time, only for that time, Gezerah from Yudah Nasi. Because it was B'davka in that generation that this would have worked. And it wouldn't work before, it wouldn't work afterwards. And Tosos goes through many examples where you see that after the time of Rebbe, they certainly did allow people and even forced people to go give back the things that they stole and or the interest that they paid, that they received. So therefore, this was a one-time edict that was occurring in the days of Rebbe and it is not to be followed subsequently. Now, many people disagree with the Rebbeinu Tam. And some suggest that we're dealing over here with people that are lifelong ganovim and lifelong interest takers who have absolutely nothing basically in their possession other than their theft or their usury. And if you insisted and forced them to give back everything they had, they truly would be destitute. And therefore, there's almost no way that they would go and do this. So for such people, if you really want to get them to do tshuva and to turn their lives around, so then we have to be going lifnei mishuras hadin and saying, okay, in this situation, you don't have to give back the money. And as we'll see, the Gemara says, even if they try to give it back, we say, no, you don't have to. And therefore, this is their way of doing tshuva, and hopefully they'll start a new career of being an erlicha person. In any event, there are many other different ways to understand this over here, but the simple way is, this was a ma'aseh shehayah in the times of Rebbe, and if it does imply in other situations as well, it's not talking about a guy that stole something and didn't want to do tshuva. So if the guy doesn't want to do tshuva, so then of course you can get it back. And if the usurer continues to do what he does, so then of course you can get it back. However, we're dealing here with a person that wants to do tshuva and isn't going to do this anymore, so then there may be situations where we don't accept it from them. When they try to give the money back that they stole or the usury that they took, we don't accept it from them. But still, there are more questions. This is Meisvei. Wait a second. You said the following, Braisa, Heiniach lehem aviyem moshel ribis. If a person who was a usurer passed away and he left his children in the estate, he left Reuben and Shimon and his children money that was usury money, it was interest money. So then, Afa pi shem yodim shem ribis. You know, Reuben and Shimon, his sons, know that this was interest money. They don't have to go back and give it back to the people that were charged this interest. But the implication of this, Braisa, is in who do low. These children, Reuven and Shimon, don't have to give it back. But the implication is that if the father, Yaakov, was still alive, he would have to go give it back. That's a steer on what we just said from Rebbe. So the Gemara says, no. In fact, no. Not only did the children not have to give it back, but the father wouldn't have had to give it back as well, like we just pointed out. The one that mentioned Ain chayav lahasa, that the children don't have to, which seems to imply that the father would. No. Father Ketanim did who? Why did it have to tell us specifically that the children don't have to give it back? And also the father didn't have to give it back, but why does it specifically mention the children don't have to give it back? Father Ketanim did who? Mishum, that's because the Kaboy Limis, they say, because keep on reading that Brysa. The next part of the Brysa, it says, if the father left them something that either he stole or there was an interest payment, so it was a para or a talis, the holdover mesuyim, or something that was specific, and everybody would say, yeah, you know, you see that possession? That was ganved money, that was interest money. So therefore, in that situation, the children would have to give it back. Chayovim lahachzer. Why? Mipnei Kvod Aviyem, because this would be a terrible bizoyim to the father that everybody would point out, oh yeah, you know the cat that you have? Yeah, he took that as ribbis. Oh, he stole that. So therefore, in this situation where it would be a bizoyim to the father, it would be a lack of cover to the father, do we obligate the sons to go and return the item? So therefore, since in the safe it had to say that they had a requirement to give it back, so therefore in the reisha it also said ein chayov lachzir, that they didn't have to give it back. But it doesn't mean that the father would have had an obligation to give it back. So Tana Reisha, Nami Bidithu. Okay. Now the Gemara says, is that really true? This guy, their father's a Rasha. So because their father's a Rasha, they still have to have cover to him? After all, Ikri Khan, the Nasi Biamcha, Lo Soar. It only says that you're not allowed to curse the Nasi if he's Amcha, if he's with you. But Ose Maise Amcha. And this father certainly wasn't doing Maise Amcha, so why do they have to give cover to the father in this situation? So the Gemara says, no, Kedam Reb Pinchas. This is in accord with what Reb Pinchas said. What did Reb Pinchas say? So in another case, he had answered that we're dealing with somebody that did tshuva. So to over here, the same teretz that Reb Pinchas gave in that case, Hochanami, we're dealing here with the father did tshuva. And that's why the children have to respect him and not go and keep this cow or this talis that everybody's going to say, yeah, that was an ill-gotten goods. The Gemara says that the father did tshuva, why didn't the father return it? He asked the tshuva, my boy Gabay. So why did the father return the parah? Why didn't the father return the talis? He should have returned it if he did tshuva. So he says, no. He intended to do tshuva. Maybe he was on his deathbed. And he said, listen, I've led a life of terrible things, and now I want to make things right. I'm going to give back this parah. I'm going to give back this talis. But Nebuch, he passed away. In that situation, the children have an obligation to give cover to their father. It is called Ma'aseh Yamcha in that situation. Toshma, we learn the following braisa, Hagazlonim umave beribis afapisha gonav govu mazirin. It says gazlonim and people that took money with interest, so even though they got it, mazirin, they have to give it back. Now what does this mean? Gazlonim, what does it mean, the gazlonim, even though they got it? Mai shegavu iko. What do you mean, even though they got it? So one says, I gazul, if they stole, so what does it mean, if they govu? They stole it. So, of course, they gavu it. They took it. The logos, they didn't steal it yet. So then, logos, they didn't steal it. So what do you mean, hagazlonim afu bishigavu, even though they took it? Of course they took it. So Gemara says, el eima, it's one statement. It's not gazlonim and malbe beribis. The way to understand this price is hagazlonim. And who are these gazlonim that this price is speaking about? Umay nihu? It's malve ribios. It's people that are called gazlonim because they took money with interest, which is, of course, an isudar raisa. And it tells about them, even though they collected this interest, magzirin, they should give it back. Now, here's the kasha. We just said that the Mavi Ribbis comes to give back his Ribbis. You don't take it back. We want to facilitate them doing tshuva. But this Bryce says you do take it back. So what's going on? Shmuel says, Amre magzirin. This Bryce says that you go and give it back. However, the people who he took the interest from shouldn't receive it. They shouldn't take it. They makabla mehen. So, yes, we want this guy that took the money with interest to go and give it back. So he says, here's your $100 that I took in interest. And then the person who gave the interest will say, but it's okay. I'm not taking it. You can keep it. So what's the purpose? So why did he offer to give it back if they're not going to take it? So it says, let's say, because he did offer to give it back. So therefore, he was yotzei, so to say, in doing tshuva. Very similarly, we have another brisa. It says, Toshma, Haroim. These Roam are bad people here. These are shepherds, Rashi says, that are gazlonim hay, because they go and pasture their animals, liros behemos, besados achayim. They don't pasture their animals in a hefker area or in their own fields. They go take them into somebody else's field. So they're gazlonim. Likewise, the gabayim, the mohsin, are dealing here with people that are collectors of taxes inappropriately. As Rashi says, these are gabayim shel melech, legabos kasef, gulgulasa, v'yarnuna. They're going to collect head taxes or property taxes, but instead, v'shakli tei, they take too much. And likewise, the mohsin, the tax collectors. So they're supposed to take, let's say, a certain amount for this city, and they go take much, much more. They only have to give the king a certain amount, and they keep the rest for themselves. So they're doing much, much more than they're allowed to. So all of these are various forms of gezel, a roim, a gemoim, a mohsin, tshuvos and kosher. It's very difficult for them to do tshuva. Rashi explains, because they've stolen from the public. Shegazlu harabim, the ein yodim, lemi lahatzer. They don't know who to give back what they stole. You have to return it to who you stole it from. And here, they don't know who they stole it from, so it's very difficult for them to do tshuva. But they have to give it back to the ones that they know they stole it from them. But the question obviously is, here it says that you do have to give it back, and before, we just said a moment ago that we shouldn't go take it from them. Einocha ruach hacham heimano, if you go take it back. Gemara says, Arme, Machzir, Mei Mekamlin. The same test we just gave a minute ago. They should offer to give it back, and we shouldn't accept it. No, well, love Machzir. What's the purpose? Again, Lotz is Yidei Shemayim. So this way, they had at least technically fulfilled the Heshen is Exel Asher Gozal. New Gemara says, Yochi, am I Tshuva son cautious? So then why are you saying it's so difficult to do Tshuva? If they're giving back the money, but nobody's taking it, so then, Allah Haskam Vekama, if we don't even know who to give it to, so then their Tshuva is accepted. So why is it so difficult? And even furthermore, oh, they must say, but keep on reading that brisa. It says, the she'ein makirin, and if they don't know who they stole it from, so then what should they do? They should go and give it for public good, for tzorchei tzibur. Yasem tzorchei tzibur. They should use it for public good. In other words, in the stomach, the people that they stole it from will get benefit from it. So it's as if they're returning it to the person that they stole it from. What's an example of this tzorchei tzibur? Remember, chista, boros, shichin, maros. Water in Eretz Yisrael is very, very important. So it only rains during certain parts of the year. The rest of the time, you need to have all of these various types of reservoir systems to go collect the water so you don't die of thirst. So what should you do if you stole from the public and you don't know which public you stole from? So then go and build these boros, shichin, and maros for the public consumption, for the public to use it. So clearly it says that you have to go and give back the stolen money. As an interesting aside, before we get to the stira, to resolve this stira, so there's a famous Igros Moshe that says, in this situation, you have to give it dafka for tzorchei tzibur, not general tzedakah. You can't just give it to tomchei Shabbos, because that won't help the people that you stole from. They may not be on tomchei Shabbos. So you have to give it to something that is used by everybody. And Rav Moshe says, the example would be a mikvah. Everybody uses a mikvah. But he also points out that you have to give enough that you'll know for sure that you definitely compensated all the people that you had taken the money from, so that you have to give enough to make sure that you've definitely paid back everybody. And likewise, you can't give it as stucker. You can't have a nice plaque and say, this mikvah was donated by so-and-so, unless you write on it that this mikvah was donated by so-and-so because he stole money from the public, and now he's trying to make amends. And he's doing this for giving it to Tzorchei Tzibur. Alternatively, Ramosh says it's okay to go and give it anonymously. You're not mechuyev to go and embarrass yourself, but you're not allowed to go and take credit for what you did. No, bottom line is, here we're saying that you do have to give back the money for the Tzorchei Tzibur, and a moment ago we just said that you don't have to. So which one is it? So Ramosh says, El Lokasha. Kan kodim takana, kan liachat takana. So you're right, we have two brises over here. One was before the takana. That says you have to go give the money back. Then along came Rabbi and made the takana. So no longer after that, you don't any longer give it back because we want to facilitate people doing tshuva. So the other brise is talking about after the takana. Alternatively, v'hashto the Omer of Nachman b'she'en gzeil kayemes. Alternatively, Rav Nachman had said that Rebbe's takana was only made when the item itself wasn't around. Rebbe had said you don't have to return the item because all your money was stolen, but the actual stolen items weren't there. That's why Rebbe said we don't force the guy to go and return the money. So then we can also reconcile the two brises in the following way. Both of them could be after Rebbe's takana. But the brise that it says you have to return it, the low kasha, it's not a kasha return to Sadi Hey Omen Aleph. The brise that it says you have to return it, kam b'gzeles kayemes, that's where the item is still around, so you have to go return it. And kam b'she'en gzeles kayemes, that's what said you don't have to return it, is when the item isn't around, it's just the value of the money that's around. I, the whole case with Rebbe was it said, avnate the gzela kayemisi. So the avnate that the wife said, you have to return your avnate. So that's the item seemingly that he stole this avnate. So that goes against what we just said. So he says, no. When it said the avnate, my avnate, it meant demay avnate. It wasn't that literally was the belt that he stole, but the money that he stole, he bought that belt. So the way we're now understanding Rav Nachman is that whenever the item is still extant, so then the rabbis never made a takana, but the whole takana is marish. The item, the stone, is extant, and yet we don't make you return that brick at the bottom of the Empire State Building. You can just give the value of it. The Hare Marish, this beam that you built into this big palace, and we said that if you have to return the beam, you'd have to knock down the whole palace. My example, the brick at the bottom of the Empire State Building, if you had to take that brick out, the whole building will fall down, so then nobody's ever going to return it. So the Gzelo Kayemisi, the actual Marish, the actual beam is still there, so you should have to return it. And nevertheless, Utanan, we learned in the Mishnah in Gittin, And in other places, Alamarish Hagazul Shibino Bibira. If the person stole a beam and he built it into his bira, into his palace, Shayitol Domov, all he has to do to be Yotze is to return the value of the beam, because otherwise he'll never do tshuva, and we want to facilitate him doing tshuva. So how can you tell me if the item is extant that we then make him return it? Here you see that we don't. Shemar says, no, again, shiny hasam, the kivin, the ikab, say the bira, because there'd be such a huge financial loss over here if you told me he had to knock down the entire palace to return the one beam, so then he's never going to do this. So shavua rabban and kidaleise. The rabbis considered it as if that beam's not extant. And therefore, in that situation, it's the regular rule, if the beam's not extant, then you just have to pay bishas agzela, like it was worth at the time of the gizela. This is a great point to stop. Again, we learned today, Le'ili Nishmas, my mother-in-law, Esther Ethel, Pazal Min Yosef, may her neshama have an aliyah from our learning of the Daf Yomi. Have a great day.